question this week comes from our beginning discussion of Stonehenge and its original purpose, thinking that it has something to do with seasons. And we were thinking about the seasons of the seeker. Are there seasons in seeking? Most people start off very much on fire and really excited about seeking and read a lot and meditate a lot and do all kinds of things, and then maybe it kind of reduces in intensity and the seeking becomes more of a normal thing, a day-by-day thing. So I referred back to the sessions with Ra where Don had a question, and the question was, it seems to me the primary thing of importance for those on the service to others path is a development of an attitude, which I can only describe as a vibration. This attitude will be developed through meditation, ritual, and a developing appreciation for the creation or creator, which results in a state of mind that can only be expressed by me as an increase in vibration or oneness with all. Could you expand on that statement? And then Ra said, we shall not correct this statement, but shall expand upon it by suggesting that to those qualities you may add the living day by day and moment by moment, for the true adept lives more and more as it is. And in the following session, Don said, will you expand more upon that statement? And Ra said, each entity is the creator. The entity, as it becomes more and more conscious of itself, gradually comes to the turning point at which it determines to seek either in service to others or in service to self. The seeker becomes the adept when it has balanced with minimal adequacy the energy centers red, orange, yellow, and blue, with the addition of green for the positive, thus moving into indigo work. The adept then begins to do less and less of the preliminary or outer work having to do with function, and begins to affect the inner work, which has to do with being. As the adept becomes a more and more consciously crystallized entity, it gradually manifests more and more of that which it always has been since before time, that is, the one infinite creator. So we would like Quo to talk to us about these seasons or cycles of seeking and what we can expect as we continue to seek.
Let us pray together, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We are those known to you as the principle of Gul. Greetings in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator, in whose service we come to you this day. We thank you for creating this circle of seeking and for asking for us to join you and to offer our humble thoughts. As always, my friends, we would ask that you employ your discrimination in listening to what we have to say. And if a thought that we offer does not resonate to you, please leave it behind. In this way, we can feel comfortable in knowing that we are not infringing upon your free will or interfering with the process of your evolution of mind, body, and spirit. We thank you for this consideration. We would start our discussion with observing the affection of the cat that is in the instrument's lap at this time and purring loudly because it appreciates the energies of the meditation. Indeed, as the one known as Jim read from the words of the entity known as Ra, there is a vibration or an essence that is more and more for the maturing spiritual seeker, the identity of that seeker. That vibration is who he is. And many things affect that vibratory rate from moment to moment, from day to day, and from season to season. The seasons of your planet are more than simply those shifting zones of temperature and humidity and weather. They represent the flow of constant repositioning of the forces that impinge upon your planet from stars near and far, from the moon and from your sun especially. So let us look at these seasonal cycles first. The culture of those who dwell in cities and who have heated homes in the winter and cooled homes in the summer, and who work in air-conditioned offices for a living, can easily disregard the passage of the seasons. They do not affect him over much. He is protected by the civilization and the comforts of that civilization. Yet the body, both the physical body and the energy body, being components of that body system, is preternaturally aware on a subconscious level, far from the conscious mind, of these shifting seasons and these shifting arrangements of energy that are impinging upon him, upon his body, as the seasons roll around from fall to winter, from winter to spring, from spring to summer, and from summer to fall. The equinoxes, which you have experienced recently, that is the fall equinox. Offer to you a time of balance. It is the year's equivalent of twilight and dawning, that time when one set of nature spirits and weather spirits, shall we say, are going to sleep and another set are waking up. It is a very magical time. Therefore, it is a good idea to cooperate with the fall equinox and the spring equinox by noting its passing and allowing the self some extra time to rest and reflect upon that which has passed since spring. And then in the spring, to reflect upon that which has passed during the long night of winter. You are a voyager upon a journey that is affected by that weather of the spheres, shall we say, that your heavenly bodies, your stars and star systems, your planets, and especially your moon, offer you. There are times to reflect, and those are the equinoxes. And another good opportunity at equinox is to welcome the energies that are coming in. It is helpful to recognize and greet the incoming energies. The approach of winter brings outer evidence of an altered environment, cold temperatures, precipitation being snow and sleet instead of rain. There is less and less light as one enters into the depths of this long winter's night. And these energies are to be welcomed. It is a good time to take stock as a spiritual seeker of what the daylight has brought through the warm months, to give thanks for those lessons and to settle and seat them in the deep mind, appreciated, honored, and respected. The summer solstice and winter solstice, on the other hand, are times of power. times of epiphany and insight. In the winter equinox, one is resting at the very nadir of light. The powers of darkness have completed their march, and your beloved planet Earth is at its farthest from the sun. This is the time to set the intentions, to move into the caves and the depths of your being, this is the time to ask for the darkness to envelop and cover the seeds that are the fruit of your past work, and to set your intention to embrace those fertilizing and fructifying energies of darkness that are needed to incubate and nurture those seeds of intent. It is at this winter equinox that that great figure of light, the one known as Jesus the Christ, enters the world. And so you may behold yourself wrapped in a cradle of darkness, and wrapped also in your firm intent to nurture the infant soul within you. It is a time when it is very easy to slip the bonds of life for those who are marginally living as the darkness descends. It becomes easier to let those tenuous bonds that hold one to life go. This is the cause of there being many elderly entities, especially who choose the winter months to enter the gates of larger life and leave the world of Earth behind. This particular group has had a practice at the winter solstice of setting a bonfire and giving to the dark all of those things that they would wish to be gone from their world. Poverty, illness, anger, and war. all of those difficult and intransigent energies of violence and greed. And this is a good practice, we feel. It is good to mark these points within your cycle of the year and cooperate as fully as you can with the special energies of those times. The spring equinox is also a time of deep reflection. A time when one is saying goodbye to the night and hello to the dawning of a new planetary day, that long day of spring and summer and early fall. When the energies begin to manifest, bursting forth from the seeds which you have planted in the darkness of winter. In each density of your planet, there is that changing of the guard. In the unseen realms, this is just as true as in your everyday world. Powers upon powers, spirits upon spirits in the unseen world dance their dance and leave at the appointed time, making way for those entities of the new time. And so it is that in spring, as the darkness dies, the energies of fertilization and nurturing and deep intent give way to a welcoming of the light and a readiness to be stewards of the energies within oneself which are coming into bloom. It is no mistake that Lent occurs in the Christian year at this time of the year. Nor is it surprising that many a housekeeper chooses spring to clean house top to bottom and make everything new and fresh again, for the time of manifestation has begun. The summer's heat coaxes bloom and fruit from the slumbering earth, and all the glory of spring and summer burst into being. On an inner level as well, warm weather is the time for realizing the fruits of those growing seeds within you. It is an active time, not as the one Romy was saying, a rushing time, but an active time, a time of intensity and brightness. The entities who aided those of your peoples to create that calendric structure known as Stonehenge. Collaborated in this effort because of the great magical potential for cooperating with the seasons. We would recommend for those who would like to blend more and cooperate more skillfully with these seasonal ebbs and flows, that reading be done in the area of natural magic. Sometimes this is called Wicca. It is neither a positive nor a negative kind of magic. It is not a polarized magic, but rather it is a unified system of awarenesses having to do with what energies ebb and flow, not only at the equinoxes and the solstices, but at the halfway point between equinox and solstice, solstice and equinox. And indeed, there are those sensitive entities who have investigated even further refinements, offering suggestions for each of the stations along the planetary year. Another cycle that can be used by the spiritual seeker is the cycles of the moon. This is subtle work, and yet it is well done. For the moon's influence is as the influence upon the ocean. There are tides within your body that ebb and flow according to the new moon and the full moon. It is skillful at the new moon to plant new ideas. To set certain intentions that you wish to set, or to re-examine intentions that you have previously set. At the full of the moon, on the other hand, it is well to rejoice and open and allow those emotions that are within you that are linked to spirit to express themselves. Not with a hectic excitement, but with a passionate equanimity. The seasons for a spiritual seeker are not necessarily totally coincidental with the seasons of the year. For there are deep rhythms within a seeker's life that are expressed throughout an entire incarnation. Each entity will have its own long rhythms of creation, manifestation, and rest. Many have written about the various stages of life. Seeing the tiny child grow and swell into an entity in its full state of youth and health and vigor. Then that entity completes the circle, dwindling down into that second childhood, which ends in death. Within this incarnation long cycle, there are sub-cycles wherein various learnings are begun, prosecuted, and completed. At the end of those times, there may be seen to be feelings of part of the self slipping away or dying away, and another part of the self coming into bloom. This instrument is aware of those who feel that these cycles are in terms of 7 years. Yet we would say that this is not a strict truth. Rather, it is true that for each entity, there are cycles that take many years to complete. And while this cycle is going on, from the inside of the cycle, the experience is that this is the self and this shall be the self for all of the life long. Yet indeed this is not so. If you reflect back upon various portions of your life, you shall see that you have indeed gained so much from previous cycles that you have been transformed by them. We would perhaps call these cycles of learning and growth those which end with the dark night of the soul, and then which spring into new life with the revelation and epiphany that the dawning after that dark night brings. You do not have to look at an almanac in order to cooperate with these very deep rhythms of self. For you can sense the powerful forces of the dark night of the soul coming to bear upon you. And you know at that point that a season of learning for you is coming to a close. And you are moving through that time when you allow to fall away those things which no longer serve you. And so you let them go with thanks and appreciation. It is perfectly acceptable to grieve for that which has been you but is no longer you. Yet always within those dark nights of the soul, it is well to retain the memory, the knowledge, and the faith that morning inevitably comes to banish darkness and new life begins, fresh, clean, and new. There is another type of cycle that affects the spiritual seeker. And that has to do with the placement of the self within this time of shift. There are repeated convergences of energies that signal and herald degrees of interpenetration of the new age with the old age, of the fourth density with the third density. These are very powerful times for spiritual seekers because the incoming fourth density energy is an energy of transparency to truth. You may have noticed that various aspects of your shadow side have been mirrored to you in these last few years, and that this effect is continuing and intensifying. We can only encourage you to cooperate with these intense waves of energy as they sweep through your energy body and your awareness. These are magical times for those who wish to craft for themselves an ever more solid awareness of who they are. it may seem that these energies are inimical. Certainly, there is discomfort at times in seeing the shadow side of yourself in a new way, and perhaps for the first time. There is, however, no stigma in having a shadow side. There is no embarrassment or shame in finding that your armor of light is not seamless. You may with calmness observe the uncomfortable truths that may face you as you take in these energies of light and truth. We encourage you never to judge yourself, but only to love yourself ever more fully as you understand yourself ever more fully. We would address that portion of the question which has to do with becoming an entity which is focused in being rather than in doing, in essence rather than in form. My friends, each portion of your physical reality has a form, yet it also has an essence. Every piece of earth, every flower, and every human being is both form and essence. Your outer culture naturally has to do, for the most part, with form and manifestation. It is not your outer culture's habit even to investigate the essence that lies within the forms. Yet to the spiritual seeker, forms shall never satisfy. There is always hunger after essence, the essence of yourself, the essence of the creation around you, the essence of who the Creator is. That portion of you that is involved with forms is also involved with those mental and emotional forms or masks that you may call the ego or the personality shell. There is a great deal that one can do on that surface level to live more skillfully and much more in cooperation with the environment about you. It is, to some extent, at this level that you will use the seasons. Yet the influence of the seasons moves into essence as well as form, just as you as a creature move into essence as well as form. As you approach spiritual maturity, you begin to release portions of your surface self. You find parts of your personality shell dropping back or even falling away. And in the place of that personality, you will find an awareness that is deep within you, that is impersonal in nature, and that partakes more and more of essence. This is the meat and drink of spiritual seeking. This movement from form to essence, from personality to impersonality, from the thinking mind to consciousness. At the heart of each of you, there is an identity. You are one with each other and with all that there is. You share in common the same consciousness that is the Creator's consciousness. It is imbued and of the nature of unconditional love. One of the most powerful experiences for any spiritual seeker is to be able to move One of the most powerful experiences for any spiritual seeker is to be able to move through the lower chakras into the open heart, and from there into indigo, and then violet, and then the gateway to intelligent infinity. As the seeker does this, he becomes the Creator. Yet, my friends, we would not say that this is the goal of spiritual seeking. Rather, we would say that your aim as a spiritual seeker is to become able to move from form to essence, and back to form, and back to essence in an ever more flowing and harmonious manner, neither scorning the surface of things, nor becoming overly enamored of the higher states of meditation and awareness. Your goal as a spiritual seeker is to find where your heart truly lies in terms of polarity. Shall you serve the light or shall you serve the darkness? When you have made that choice, then you have the rest of your incarnation before you as an environment in which to practice being that entity which is a servant. And becoming ever more comfortable in that polarity. So that gradually over time, you become truly balanced. The dance moves through many cycles. And yet always within you, at the heart, is that point of infinite stillness in which essence is all and love rings out to the farthest reaches of the infinite creation. We thank those of this group for creating such an interesting question. It has been our pleasure to contemplate various facets of it, for it indeed is a large question and could be probed from many different angles. Before we ask if there are other questions, we would ask if there is a follow-up to this main question. We are those of Nkul.
Not for me.
We are those of Kuo and are aware that this theme has been exhausted for the evening. In that case, my friends, we would ask if there is another query that is upon your mind at this time. We are those of Kuo. We are those of Kuo and find that this instrument would like us to speak to some extent about communication. Recently, this instrument completed a chapter in a book that she is writing about the issues of the Blue Ray Energy Center, the throat chakra, which is all about communication. This instrument was surprised to find that it was harder for her to write about communication than about any other portion of the energy body. And she decided that perhaps it was because she has always been a natural communicator. And so she went back to the work itself upon which she was giving a report. That is the Confederation material, such as that which is being generated at this session of working. And read and studied the Confederation messages about the Blue Ray Chakra. Yet, what this sparked in her was an awareness that she had not before had. That awareness was how tenuous and vulnerable open communication is to emotions such as hurt feelings and misunderstandings. So her query was to ask us if we could offer some spiritual principles which would enable her to be more skillful in communicating. Especially when there were undercurrents and riptides below the surface of communication. We would acknowledge that there are many times that communication is layered. There is the voice that is speaking and the words that are being used, which are one level of communication which speaks to the logical and rational mind. Yet also, no matter how skillful the words or how well put the sentiments, there are many unspoken layers to communication which do not yield to the logical and rational mind. This is due to the fact that there are emotions and feelings concerning the words that create layers of either helpful awareness or unhelpful resistance to the words that are being spoken. Now, we could make a couple of suggestions for those times when one is caught upon a moment where one becomes aware that there are unseen elements to the communication and that this has confused and muddled the communicative energies that are moving between those two or three who are communicating. Firstly, it is well to remember that you speak with a great deal more than your voice. Each of you has body language which communicates on a level which is below thought, yet other entities will receive the communication of your body, how you hold it, whether there is tension in it, whether emotions are within you that are causing your facial muscles to change your appearance. It is well to acknowledge those levels of communication and to honor them and, if possible, to address them within the self. Secondly, it is helpful to remember that intent is everything, both in the self as it communicates and in the other self as it responds, or in the other self as it communicates and in the self as it responds. The same words can be said with various intentions. Therefore, we would say, look you to your intention. Is your intention pure? Is it entirely service to others oriented? Does it have any aspect of the desire to control or the attachment to an outcome? These are not aids to open communication. And lastly, we would remind all those who attempt to communicate that if you hold words in one hand and love in another, love is heavier. Love is more important. Love is the essence. Words are the form. Find the love in your heart and let your heart fill the form of words with love, affection, compassion, and laughter. As we have exhausted the questions within this group at this time, we would thank each once again for the privilege and pleasure of your company, your mingled auras create a beautiful space, and all of those positive energies within your universe have been called to be a portion of this sacred space. We thank you so much for being asked to be a part of this moment. We thank you for seeking. And we thank you for being you, for you are truly beautiful. We leave you in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. We are known to you as the principle of Ukul. Adonai. Adonai. As we let the light that we have gathered in this group go back to the infinite creator, let us place in it our hopes, our dreams, and our prayers for healing. Steve, Damon, Ariane, Obin, Michelle, Jean-Pierre. The image goes up. Let the reins fall down. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United People, we are one, united. People, we are one.